This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Starts out with the Sedin. Daniels ahead of the play. Takes the puck off the boards. He's got Weber in front. He scores!
5:43, Brady and Walker on your Thursday. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady. Last night, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Just a couple of games on a quiet night in the NHL. And when that happens, the nation's attention sometimes does get turned to certain markets, different than, say, there was 11, 12 games on the night, which might not be a great thing for the Philadelphia Flyers or the Edmonton Oilers. Ron Hextall was in on his team last night, and the Oilers, for a fourth time this season, lose in an entertaining game, nonetheless, 5-4 to the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, 10 Western Conference games played against Western opponents. As they are, no wins yet.
Yep, but seven wins against the East.
Cleaned up on the East.
And yeah, first in the East.
That Yannick Weber goal was the winner. Andrew Ferentz had tied it about 5 minutes earlier. Yeah, you got to see Canucks and Oilers more and a better start time. If you're people that get up when we get up, it's a lot of 9:30 Eastern starts and sometimes 10:30 Eastern starts. So unless it's Saturday, it's hard to see these teams in action. And, I heard Glenn Healy a little bit on Hockey Central yesterday. He was talking with Doug, Nick, Darren, just saying the Oilers are well aware that goaltending is still very much an issue on this team. And there were a couple lousy goals. Ben Scrivens went the whole way last night. But there were a couple lousy goals for the Oilers. So I can't tell. You may have seen them more than me, but the criticism was, look, they build all the young guns up front. The defense isn't great, and the defense doesn't do much to bail out the goalies. They feel they've improved their blue line with Nikitin, with Schultz, second year there for Ferentz, Mark Fain there, but the goalies still let in the goals. It's your save percentage is what it is.
The goalies have been worse in Edmonton this year than they have for a lot of years. So any improvement that your team is making, whether it's, you know, through the analytical side of the game, whether it's guys like Nugent Hopkins and Taylor Hall really coming to their own as NHL superstars, everything gets masked. And sometimes it can be demoralizing. And and this is one of my problems sometimes with advanced statistics, is that, you can say that you're doing the right things all you want. It's still very difficult to feel good about yourself when the losses keep piling up. And sometimes saying, well, look at the numbers. We're playing better. It's really, really hollow. And it's not going to save people's jobs.
No. And even from a straight, simple, Ryan Miller may not have been at his best, but his team outscored the other team. Is Ryan Miller going to let in four goals every night? No, he's on 30 shots. No, he's not. So you sort of skate by. The only teams with worse goaltending goals against-wise in the league, Buffalo. Buffalo's Buffalo. Literally. Columbus, they've been missing Bobrovsky, a chunk, and other players. And Dallas, Kari Lehtinen, we talked about him at the start of the season. And the games they've played Anders Lindback, who was a bad backup in Tampa, and he's now a bad backup in Dallas for the games he started. He's been horrible.
Vancouver was your, I don't want to say surprise, but you were picking Vancouver to be that team. Is on the outside that got in. Nashville was my club in that regard.
Yeah, good job there.
We're both looking pretty good in that sense.
Although I wouldn't have had, again, we probably both would have had Dallas in. I would have had Colorado out. I would not, right now, San Jose is on the outside looking in.
Yes, and the Calgary Flames are right in the mix, as is, believe it or not, the Winnipeg Jets. Mm-hmm. But Vancouver's 13-6. Tough to complain about much. That said, they've beaten the Oilers heads up four times this season. Do we look at that 13-6 record and say there's a few elements of hollowness to it?
A little bit of deception to it. Now they go right out back to back tonight, and they play Anaheim, and this is the much. You know, it's funny, we were all in on Vince Carter, and it's amazing how time heals all wounds. Tonight, Ryan Kesler, plays his first game in Vancouver, who was...
That one's still a little fresh.
That's
a,
yes.
A little fresh.
Yeah, the knife still got the blood dripping from it. But not only because of asking out and getting out, but sort of how he was there. A little bit morose. I've interviewed Ryan Kesler one-on-one three or four times. I don't have the issues that guys like, I guess, Tony Gallagher had or our colleague Dan Murphy from Sportsnet. I never found him difficult, but that's a one-off. I didn't have to follow him around for 8-9 days
yeah,
at a time.
It's different when you're there every day yeah. and the team is losing.
And he might have gotten, how would I put it, Andrew? He might have gotten sick of Vancouver a lot earlier than this trade request came in, right near the end of the season. There was talk after he got back from Sochi right away.
Right.
The Tortorella thing
really did not go over well in Vancouver.
No.
It was the wrong move.
It was
at the wrong time.
And I thought it would work.
It's actually incredible how well they've bounced back from it and how quickly they've been able to identify the problem. And maybe it's something that this organization here in Toronto hasn't been able to do.
Well, would you have fired Vigneault? Because a lot of times we'd sit here a few years ago and we'd talk off air and other shows would talk and say, God, what? Somebody's got to go. But why isn't it Gillis instead of Vigneault? And Gillis inherited Vigneault and did choose to keep him. Dave
right.
Nonis, give him credit, was the first guy to say, I want to land Vigneault. I want that guy that coached the Canadiens a few years ago. I want to give him another crack at it. And sometimes you don't get that another crack at it.
Yeah, coaches are tricky in the sense of, I think Alain Vigneault is a good coach. It doesn't mean I wouldn't have fired him, though, if that makes sense.
If he wins Game 7 of the Stanley Cup against Boston, they win 3-2 at home.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, he writes his own
ticket. But does he buy that much more time? Because
yeah,
we were talking yesterday about Stanley Cup coaches getting fired, and will Randy Carlyle be fired a second time? Pierre Laviolette, Mark Crawford, Mike Keenan. You almost don't. Scotty Bowman was fired in Buffalo. You can't find a guy who was able to always quit, always leave a team on his own terms. Pat Burns was fired a bunch of times.
The one thing I was thinking about yesterday as it revolves around Ryan Kesler, because your big contention on the Vince Carter thing is that people have been slow to forgive because the trade was bad, to add insult to injury.
That's it.
This is another reason I don't necessarily agree with it, is that Ryan Kesler is going to get torched tonight in Vancouver. And Canuck fans love the trade. The trade has been spectacular for them. They're 13-6. Nick Bonino is cheaper, and Canuck fans will tell you, rightly or wrongly, that he's better. Add in Lucas Ibiza. Add in the first-round pick they got. The trade is phenomenal for Vancouver.
Well, and you're buying 7 years of a career. Ryan Kessler's on the other side of 30,
right.
And he's 31 years old.
But that doesn't matter to them, and I don't think it matters to Raptors fans at all.
Yeah, but you know, that's the first time Ryan Kessler's coming in. Do you think the 11th time Ryan Kesler comes in, if it's still as a member of the Mighty Ducks, people have got the same. I watched Sergei Fedorov return.
They're not giving him a standing ovation. He just turns into an irrelevant player for them.
I'd say that happened with Dion Phaneuf the third or fourth time he came back. No, it's only one time a year he comes. The first year was a big deal after the trade in the 10-11 season when he first came back. I think it was early in the
right.
year.
I
but
mean,
then the second, third
always,
time, it's like, it's just Dion.
Yeah, but he'll always get booed.
It's nothing like, again, feels like the first time, right? That's how it's going to be ugly tonight. I agree with you there.
551, Brady and Walker, Ryan Faber, our producer, is in with a look at today in history. It's Now and Then.
Now and Then, a hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history.
I'll be back in time. Imagine if Ryan Faber, not Ryan Kesler, asked for a trade off Brady and Walker. And I mean, we'd boo him the first time we saw him.
We would boo him.
Walking down the street.
Yeah, we would boo him.
Playing ping pong, bumming a cigarette in an alley, we'd boo him.
He would be moonlighting on Windsor's Best Rock at 96.7, producing that morning show.
I see The Social as a good fit for him. You know, female-oriented audience, female hosts. Be comfortable there. You're booking, like, cooking experts.
We're talking about Fabro, not you.
Fashion.
Yeah, if you remember that.
Okay.
Oh, man. Print songs all hour. All hour.
I was thinking Sarah McLaughlin. Sarah McLaughlin's in studio visit. All right.
Yeah.
So this date in history, November 20th.
Correct.
Pretty good day.
Yeah. 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis ends. It's not Mexico.
You talk about Dave and Buster's with their racism. This is racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, a big question.
It's a Miami
comes
sound machine for this.
Have you enjoyed a Cuban sandwich before? And what's your favorite sandwich? Walkie, like...
you really want to get into this?
Yes. You like sandwich talks?
So you're on your own. I've never had a Cuban sandwich.
It's like ham.
It's pretty
pulled
basic,
pork,
actually.
Or, and yeah. like a pickle.
What's the garnish? What's the condiment?
Mustard.
Well, yeah, mustard. Yeah.
Hot mustard. Yeah, my favorite sandwich is various types of meat on rye bread, toasted with a pickle, horseradish, Dijon mustard, and Havarti cheese. Thank you very much.
Havarti cheese is good. Mm. That's pretty good cheese.
Forgive me, but they make cigars in Cuba.
That's correct. You're forgiven. 1982, the play, it was named. Cal beats Stanford on a final play involving five laterals and a winning touchdown run through a school band. Pretty good
right.
last play.
John Elway's final game as a Stanford, as a college player. Stanford,
was it? Yeah.
Yep, and they lost as a result.
I don't know anything about college football at all.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
I have enough going on in my life. Like, I love football. I love sports. I can't commit a whole Saturday to college football, even though I might enjoy it. I can't let myself go down that slope.
I guess it is what you grow up with.
I'd get divorced.
If my dad had taken me to the Briar and Bond Spiels, maybe I'd be more into curling. Like, I never saw it as a kid. I never saw it live. I never played it.
I love the
Briar. So I've got an apathy towards it.
Because of the curling.
If your dad took you to the Bonspiels, you'd really enjoy smoking and drinking Labatt yes. Blues before noon.
I've been to two Briars, and I don't know if I've seen any of the action. I've been sitting in the Briar patch the whole time.
Anyway, let's do birthdays. This is a weekday, November 20th. Do better. J.D. Drew. Honestly, wow. Who cares? I hate him. Bo Derek. She was hot. Back in the day, apparently. Now I don't know.
I'm going to say she's 66.
Walker.
59.
Like 10 was in 1980, so 10 was 24 years ago. Now, I think I'm too high because I think she wouldn't have been that young.
Correct. Yeah, 58 is the correct answer.
Too high.
Carly Rae.
34 years ago, I should say.
Carly Rae Jepsen. She had that annoying song, this one, a couple of years ago.
And an awful first pitch down in Tampa. Older, I'll let you guess first, Greg, but older than you think.
Yeah,
that was the whole thing with Carly Rae Jepsen.
28.
No, I say 32.
29, correct answer.
Okay. 28 yesterday. Hello.
Max Pacioretty, good player. 26 today. And the number one song,
Max.
1986. This is big for Brady, of course. It's Human.
Oh, my heavens.
Human.
Yeah.
Are you seeing them tonight?
No, I had tickets to see them in 10th grade, and they canceled the show. Didn't sell enough tickets. Maybe I was the only one that bought
them. Oh, shocker.
In January 87.
You had a nice
pair. Me and Sandra Sangster didn't get to go. We went and saw Platoon that night instead.
You had a nice pair of white slacks and everything laid out.
Parachute pants.
So embarrassed to be on the show. 5:55, Brady and Walker. Yes, believe it or not, Greg Brady is going out tonight to a
human.
Concert.
Yeah.
We're going to quiz him on exactly how wild of a time he's going to have with his glow sticks and his synthesizers. But the Raptors with the big win over the Memphis Grizzlies last night. Are they going to win the Eastern Conference? We'll answer that question next. Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Because seriously, when's the last time you were sober enough to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to listen live? Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The Raptors make a statement with a win over Memphis.
Left side, on the elbow, steps back, 16-footer, drop it down! Kyle Lowry puts it right in the grill of Mike Conley, and the Raptors are 8.2 seconds away from knocking off the number one team in the NBA.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:03, good morning, Brady and Walker. The Toronto Raptors did just that last night, 96-92, over the Memphis Grizzlies. The Raptors continue to win games. Memphis came in an NBA best, Greg, 10-1. Now they have their second loss. Now, it was a flu-ravaged Grizzly squad. So how big of a win? How much of an asterisk is placed on this victory?
Well, you don't have to play them again. They're not a rival. I think they're playing a little bit above their heads, and they're one of the West teams, and there might be There might be five, I tell you. I don't think the Raptors match up well with them. I don't think they've got enough talent or the matchup, or it's both. But Memphis isn't actually one of them. Their three best players did play last night. The Raptors didn't have a player like last week, say, on Thursday with the Bulls here, Andrew, with DeMar DeRozan, not having the best of nights. There wasn't a Raptor player you looked at that was, say below par. Now Jonas Valanciunas didn't play very much. He was getting... he was getting his show run a little bit by both Marcus Gasol and Zach Randolph, especially under the hoop. Randolph finished with 18 rebounds. He had 8 offensive rebounds. He's a monster. He has been since he was a baby at Michigan State. But it was enough, right? It was enough, and they had to come back. They were down 6 going into the fourth. It's a real good win, whether there were a few Grizzlies players sitting out or not.
Raptors are now 9-2, one more game to go in this homestand. The somewhat surprising Milwaukee Bucks, who sit at 7-5, mm-hmm. are in town coming up tomorrow night. Masai Ujiri is going to join us at 8 a.m. this morning on Brady and Walker, and I'm intrigued to find out his thoughts on the Vince Carter scenario from last night. Now, everything goes according to plan for the Raptors. People are feeling good about themselves. Vince Carter gets honored. He doesn't play a big role in the basketball game, and everybody cheers. He gets emotional. Everybody's happy. But I believe we had Masai Ujiri on this offseason. Actually, no, it was in the preseason.
Yeah.
And remember Kelly Olynyk, the Canadian,
that's right,
was in, and he was announced into the ball game, which was a classy move. It was one of his first preseason games. I don't mind that. We like Canadians here in Canada. Masai Ujiri wasn't a huge fan of it.
You don't have to roll, they don't have to roll it out for Andrew Wiggins. They don't have to roll it out for Anthony Bennett. I don't think they did last year. They don't have to make a big fuss about guys coming in and being from here. The Vince thing, I guess it's the perfect storm. You nailed a lot of the principles. He's not on a rival team anymore. The Raptors are good. He's not. He can't come and burn you in the playoffs.
Right. He's not getting that shot with 18 seconds to go.
I guess they're doing that video if he's a bench player on the Chicago Bulls last week going into that big game. I guess they are. But in a weird way, I think the response is a little more muted. I'm eager to ask Masai about it because Brian Burke has, again, like some aspects, despise others. That's fine. But Brian Burke's big principle was about honoring the past when he got here. And the Leafs hadn't done a great job of that in previous years. There's a lot of organizations that get accredited. The Canadians always do for doing a really good job, but maybe almost to a fault of honoring the past. Brian Burke came in. He said, we're going to do that with people. We're in ex-Leafs. I was there the night that Mats came back as a Canuck, and it was a big deal. Darcy Tucker would tell you they made a fuss when the first game he came back with the Colorado Avalanche, sort of a nondescript Tuesday, but they made him feel great. Maybe this was a long time in coming, but to me, it was more about the organization than how the fans feel. There will be some fans that never forget. This is the organization saying, hey, dude, I mean, we've moved on. Things happened.
Right,
it was 10
right.
years ago. We got screwed on the trade. Nobody's here that had anything to do with the trade. So we're moving forward.
It's therapeutic in a sense. And there is no, and we both agree on this, there's no worse radio or newspaper column of do you boo, will you boo?
It's terrible stuff.
It's yeah. lazy. It's terrible. But that being said, we were intrigued to see what the reaction would be to Vince Carter last night. If this was just a plain and simple, a bad idea from the Toronto Raptors, it was pretty good. It was a standing ovation from Raptors fans. This was Vince Carter after the game.
You can't prepare for that, whether it was a surprise or you knew it was coming. It was just an amazing feeling, amazing just to be in the moment and to see it. As each play was happening, you know, I can remember all of that stuff like it was yesterday. It was awesome. I think finally I decided just live in the moment and enjoy it. Have your moment. And it was great. What? I'm extremely thankful for it.
I'll tell you what, Andrew, what I'd compare this to, the light bulb went off and I said, what I'd compare this to is say, now I have you have a happy relationship. I have a great marriage, great wife. It's sort of like if someone called and said, hey, a guy that got divorced and said, hey, your ex-wife's been killed in a car accident. You show up at the funeral and you start getting the memories and everything.
What is with your morbid analogies? Good heavens.
Don't
all
play,
right.
You don't have to play a car crash sound. I'm
right.
just telling you. And then you show up at the funeral and you thought, okay, maybe you had kids with her. Maybe you didn't. You show up and you get all emotional. Now, you wouldn't want someone going, see, he always loved her. He never stopped loving her. That was me a little bit last night going, people are going, see, Vince cares. He couldn't have done anything wrong. Look at him cry. And I'm like, No, man. No. I'm sure he's emotional. You grow up and you make mistakes in your early 20s, whether you're a millionaire basketball player or not, and you got the world in, you know, the world in the palm of your hands. But I wasn't one of those that gets, you don't like that analogy?
No, it's apt, but you're a sick, sick man. It's 6:09. Let's get you what you need to know.
Okay, yes, we will.
All right. This sure. is your Thursday you morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
I didn't say anyone else was killed in the accident. Snowy roads today. Maybe that's a bad omen. I won't say it again.
Where do you think of these things?
Okay, she has a fatal disease that eats away her brain over the net. What do you want?
You know what the Raptors tribute was last night? It's going to a funeral of your dead ex-wife.
Okay,
what are you talking about?
Your ex-wife's camping in the woods and she runs into a Kodiak bear and it rips her arms off and throws her down a gully. You like that better than road carnage?
At least that's somewhat funny.
It could happen. Sure, too.
10 after 6. Your first clue, by the way, for Toronto tickets.
You're so rattled now.
It's coming up. Yes, I am. Number 6. Jason Collins announces his retirement yesterday. The first openly gay player in all 6 major sports. Said he came to a decision this summer and was kind of figuring out the right way to do it. And I guess yesterday was that day. Maybe it's because, as you heard on Now and Then with Ryan Favreau, a lousy day in history. He was not competing against anything.
It just became this unbelievable non-story, didn't it?
The retirement or the actual play?
Him playing. And would it have been... I was at a game where he played a little bit, a chunk of time with Brooklyn. We went to a playoff game. We passed him in the hallway. He was just walking past the hallway. He didn't get in.
Yeah, you fist bumped him, I believe. Yes.
That was Joey Vendetta. He didn't get into games. He gave my brother a hug, too. But, hey, Collins was on Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential list this year. The bottom line is he did it. He became the first openly homosexual player to play in a North American pro sports league. So he'll be the answer to a trivia question. But he'll be mentioned in history classes and everything, too. Good for him.
And it did have an impact. Yeah. I remember that next day because it was a late game. It was in L.A., I believe, against the Lakers. And he was announced into the game. And, God, he played like 6 minutes. And we had the audio the next day. We don't care about the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets on any given day, but we did that night. Number 5, Pablo Sandoval, one of the top names on the free agent market, is apparently down to 2 clubs, according to reports. One is the Boston Red Sox, where he is quote-unquote likely to sign. The other is the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays are expected to make an offer at some point late last night or early today.
Yeah, and we'll see where it goes with Sandoval. He never really, there's a KPIX story, their website, saying Sandoval never really intended to re-sign with the Giants. Still 90%'s been quoted a lot that he'll end up a Boston Red Sox, but Toronto had that 10% affixed to their name. And if they're only going 5 years again, you'll have to give him a lot more per year, perhaps, than Boston will. If Boston's willing to go 6 or 7, who knows if they'd even go 7 years.
We talked about this after Russell Martin signed, and we kicked it around a little bit on Tuesday, and that is the thing I think we both liked about this Russell Martin deal was the timing of it. Because all of a sudden, let's say a week ago, Pablo Sandoval does not have the Toronto Blue Jays on the tip of his tongue. All of a sudden, the we're serious about winning conversation does come up because you see a playoff guy like Russell Martin on this team.
Makes for quite an infield, though. You'd go Sandoval. I guess Xander Bogaerts needs to be better with the bat. You got your steady Pedroia and Mike Napoli, who fights through injuries, but still is usually there 130 games a year at first base.
By the way, Russell Martin, 2 p.m. Today will be introduced. We will carry a live Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Number 4, speaking of the Blue Jays, Juan Francisco is no longer one. Some will say good riddance. And others will bemoan the fact, I suppose. But he goes to the Boston Red Sox.
Just kind of becomes a non-factor. You and I saw him tons. I know he became sort of a punchline late in the season and got not only his usual terrible against lefties, but couldn't hit anybody come August and early September to the point where they left him on the bench. He was a pretty integral part of the success in May. He really was. He had seven home runs. Yep. He had a great month of May for this team and late April.
Number 3, NFL Thursday night. You can catch it on Sportsnet tonight. It is the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Raiders, of course, are lousy looking for their first win. But Kansas City, 7-3, primed to go to 8-3. Have we sold them short? Is this the most underrated team in the National Football League?
I'm trying to think of one that you'd say it about. Now, remember, Miami last Thursday was a sloppy game. Show that maybe they're more a contender than people think. We wondered if that was the Cleveland Browns who played two Thursdays ago. But I think because of the record, the fact they started 2-3, they're grinding through games, pretty balanced pass and run attack. Maybe it is Kansas City. Same record as the Denver Broncos. A lot of pressure on Denver to go get their win this weekend, because this looks like a layup tonight for Kansas City. Miami is at Denver, 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Number two, as mentioned, Raptors knock off the Memphis Grizzlies. Coming in, they were the best team in the NBA record-wise. They're 10-1. They're now 10-2. 96-92 is the final. Big fourth quarter from the Raps. They trailed by four coming in, and they end up winning this one. By six coming in, they end up winning this one by four. 18 for Lowry, 21 for DeMar DeRozan, the Milwaukee Bucks in town to wrap up this homestand. Coming up tomorrow, the number one thing you need to know, the Toronto Maple Leafs. All eyes on the ACC tonight. Now, Randy Carlyle wasn't fired yesterday, but we'll ask the question next. What happens if it's another huge dud effort against Steven Stamkos in Tampa tonight
at the ACC? Who's your starting goalie? Is that tricky? Cold.
Good heavens.
Come right back with Bernier. Reimer's
giving
up
six. Who's
playing
for the Marlies right now?
There's no Drew McIntyre option like last year. Garrett Sparks
is
the correct answer. You win the tickets.
You know what? Real quickly, I would have put Bernier back in the net
at the start of the second.
Because, hey, you got to wear some of that, too. It can't all be on James Reimer. You could make a save in the first. Reimer could make a save in the third.
But it's been 12 goals in five periods now for James Reimer giving up.
6:15, Brady and Walker, we want to send you to the ACC as Toronto takes on Detroit. Coming up this Saturday night, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. Name us that mystery player. We'll give you clues throughout the morning, including clue number one right now. This Leaf great was drafted in the first round, coming out of the Ontario Hockey League's Oshawa Generals. Your next clue is coming up at 7:14.
So we'll talk Leafs Lightning next, whether there's a shakeup in the lineup, and something that everybody regarding the NFL should kind of be getting tired of hearing. It's that straw man argument. I kind of want to talk about it. We'll do that at 6:40.
No waffling. Everything is black and white. Bring it. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, 5:33. Brady and Walker on your Thursday. It's chilly out there. Maybe not as cold as yesterday, but everyone's recovering from that dump of snow yesterday afternoon.
Is that why you're wearing shorts?
Yes.
And
and these sunglasses. And that's why I have the sunscreen on my nose and under my eyes.
It's supposed to be sunny later today. I have -2, wind chill between -10 and -15 today.
The Toronto Raptors, it was a little more difficult, I suppose, to get down to the ACC last night. And for the Memphis Grizzlies, it was a little more difficult fielding a team when everybody is sick, apparently.
Isn't it weird? None of their best players had the flu, though.
Two starters did.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, that would be like, if you're the Raptors, it would be like, what, Amir Johnson and Terrence Ross.
But to me, the Grizz are, they're Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, and Conley.
Right, their best
three. Best three players did dress last night and played lots of minutes.
I mean, you look at that win over Oklahoma City that the Raptors had early in the season. No Durant, no Westbrook. That is not what the Thunder will be come playoff time.
No.
Is there, how, there's an asterisk. How much of an asterisk is on last night, which was a quality win by the
Raptors? Not much of one. I mean, we mentioned Chicago started their West Coast trip and they beat the LA Clippers with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, and they didn't have Derrick Rose or Pau Gasol when they did it. So teams are just going to have to really play through this kind of stuff. The seven-game homestand is almost over. They get Milwaukee Friday night. They go right away to Cleveland for Saturday.
It's gone kind of as, not as expected, but as hoped, I suppose.
Oh, I think anything now. I even think you could have a letdown game against Milwaukee, who won in triple overtime last night in Brooklyn. What I kept saying, I was yelling around the house last night, waking my kids up. I said, Jason Kidd's a good coach. Everyone just made fun of him last year because he spilled a drink on himself. I think he's going to do a good job in Milwaukee. They're 7-5. Jabari Parker's going to win Rookie of the Year, and Jason Kidd's not going to embarrass himself as a head coach. So Milwaukee could come in here, Andrew, and win Friday, and I'll just kind of shrug my shoulders and go, That's the proverbial letdown game.
Sure.
That's a letdown game. They've played two hugely emotional games, I think, last night and Chicago last Thursday in the last 8 days. And you might, players don't necessarily look ahead to Cleveland, but you know it's coming. You know you're getting on the plane that night. You know they got a West Coast trip in about a week and a half where they play the Lakers and Sacramento. They play the easier Western teams. Either way, I guess ESPN SportsCenter had that game as the second. It was right after San Antonio and Cleveland last night. It was the second game they led with. I know we fussed last week about the American coverage, but everyone's taking notice.
Sure.
Everyone has taken notice in the NBA, on the NBA planet, about how good the Raptors are and how well they play and all the things they do right. It's great.
Raptors win 96-92, and it's not a conversation quite yet, but it's going to be. The Cleveland Cavaliers lose again to admittedly a very good team, 92-90 San Antonio. So all of a sudden, the Raptors extending their lead in the Eastern Conference, especially on Cleveland, who has five marks in the loss column this season. 536, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back at it. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You can't lose sight of the fact that it's one game. We have to move forward. You can't dwell on it forever. You can do a lot of damage to the long-term success of your team by overreacting.
As Leafs GM Dave Nonis doing an element of damage control. He doesn't speak at practice every day, but yesterday, understandably, had to. Now, he said something that I wonder if he regrets a little bit, and we will play that quote coming up in just a couple of seconds. He is right, though, Greg, in the sense of overreaction is the bane of all the existence of all sports leagues. That said, when you're thinking about a coaching change, when you're thinking about a big trade, there is a lot of importance on tonight's game because tonight does not feel like just one game. It feels like that proverbial third in a row.
Doesn't feel like another game. And you don't, I don't know if you like the factors coming in. You got a rested Tampa team that got here comfortably yesterday, slept in their Toronto hotel. They weren't playing a back-to-back. They should be fired up and angry themselves. They were a bit embarrassing in their last outing against the Islanders on Tuesday night. They lost 5-2. They are the second highest scoring team in the NHL, scoring almost, three and three quarter goals a game. They're only behind Pittsburgh. And they know they're playing a team that's a little bit wounded, a little bit fragile with 15 goals given up. Like you're right. In the cool light of day, I read some of the players' comments, and I know you want to talk later in the morning about the Phil Kessel jersey comment, but Phil Kessel did say, hey, it ain't like we're a last place team here. We know we are embarrassed, but we're not, we haven't had a bad season, and he's right about that. That said, in the cool light of day yesterday, God, was the Preds loss any less embarrassing? Kept watching the highlights at the gym, seeing them. I'm like, no, it was just as bad a game as we thought it was,
yeah, it was
watching
terrible.
It live.
It was
terrible. We weren't overreacting while the game was happening.
Dave Nonis, I understand you do damage control in a moment like this, and you're going to say things that maybe you don't even actually believe, but you try to say the right things. This was the quote that did admittedly piss off a lot of people yesterday.
Well, no one was here after the Boston game. We were 6-1-1 asking about his job security. We haven't done a good enough job the last two games as a group, coaches, players, management. We've got some things to work on, but we just need to get back to where we were a week ago.
All right, the first part of that, because he was asked about Randy Carlyle's job security, and Dave Nonis basically says, hey, you guys don't come in here when we're winning and ask about it. And it appeared condescending. It appeared argumentative, and it was the last thing I think that a lot of Leaf fans wanted to hear.
Yeah, it's hardly a media-created story. They created this story by firing his assistant coaches. They created a story by firing Dave Nonis' assistant GMs. The Leafs doing that in the summer with Dave Poulin and Claude Loisel.
Well, and more to that, because no one disagreed with that, they created this story by giving up 15 goals to the Sabres and Preds.
And the players created the story by doing just that. This is a little bit like, to me, like, I guess you do it the opposite. It's something bad before good. It'd be like, hey, Tom Hanks gets a bunch of Academy. Well, no one wanted to give Tom Hanks an Academy Award for Bosom Buddies or splash
for Turner and Hooch
or the money pit. No, I know. And then he made Forrest Gump in Philadelphia in Apollo 13. And we're like, wow, that's one of the greatest actors ever. So, yeah of course. Yeah, it does seem like it's very weird that we're only 8 days removed. We came in, Leafs, Bruins, and we said, man, that's... We call like it is. We call like we see. We don't have an agenda. We said that's one of the most impressive games we've seen the Leafs play under Randy Carlyle. And that's not just them missing Zdeno Chara. There's Phil Kessel, the superstar no one criticizes. And they shouldn't for what he does on the ice. I don't know if there's a move. And I don't know if there's a move, Andrew, for Randy Carlyle to play tonight. It is. These players are bracing. They would probably rather play this game on the road. Because they know in the first 6 minutes, this is going to be a crowd. And we talked about the contrast in crowds going to Raptors games and going to Leafs games. This will be a crowd that, some guys will show up in suits and some people will wear their sweaters. But
everyone's going to be aware.
Universally, yeah.
Everyone's going to be aware.
They will be. This is Gladiator with Russell Crowe. They are ready. They are ready to demand blood with a bad start, with a bad result, with a bad outing. I don't know of a standard, hey, toss it up in the air, shootout loss, sends people home and go, whew, well, at least that wasn't completely and utterly embarrassing and I was entertained and they got a point. Maybe that's enough to quiet people down. I don't know.
Probably is. And now I'm picturing Brendan Shanahan up in the media gondola wearing a robe and those leaves on his head.
Eating grapes, not with, hot dogs.
With you fanning him with the big fan. Extending his thumb, going thumbs up or thumbs down.
Dave Nonis in a toga? Imagine it. Get it out of your head now. Do your best.
629, Brady and Walker. Another comment that seemed to get people riled up was Phil Kessel asked about the jersey throwing, as you know, we've seen it numerous times. Phil Kessel said it was classless, basically. Now, some fans got even more upset because he would say that about a fan base that just had to watch a team lose 9-2. Do you agree or disagree with those people?
I didn't like the comment. I feel like Nazem Kadri's, and I don't have it in front of me. The first time it happened, like, what are we talking? They played 8 or 9 home games. Has it not happened at about 4 different home games, and it happened in Buffalo?
Yeah. It's happened a lot.
And as I said, what if you just bought a whole bunch of discount Leaf jerseys and just started, like how you pull laundry out of the dryer, and just started tossing them over? Are you getting... I joked yesterday on Twitter, you want that guy pepper sprayed and beaten like Rodney King. You want his ankles destroyed, so he never walks again.
It's embarrassing, but how the Leafs have played, absolutely it is. And if you're a Leafs fan, you should be embarrassed. But I don't know why this bothers me so much. I hate the jersey toss. I hate it.
It's not a safety issue for you. It's not like we're throwing glass. It's not the 70s where glass bottles are getting thrown probably at athletes, or it's Yankee or batteries at Yankee Stadium.
Throw a bag of pennies over. So I don't care. Don't throw
messy.
A jersey.
Popcorn's really messy to clean up off the ice. Really messy.
You know what it is?
You hate the symbolism of it,
yes.
It seems like to me.
This is...
But why? Why so much?
Because if you are Johnny's season ticket holder, and
JST.
You know what? Be mad at your team. Call for Nonis to be fired. Call for Shanahan to be fired or Carlyle to be fired. I don't care. Call for everyone to call into our show and demand that Phil Kessel be traded for a 4th-round pick. I don't care. That's your right as a fan. But when you take your jersey and throw it over the glass, what? You're making a statement on a 500 hockey team that you don't like, Mike Santarelli? You're insulting your father, Bobby Bond, Daryl Sittler, Boreas Salming.
Yeah. Is it that personal?
Yeah, it is.
So here's what I
sure
don't,
it is.
I don't say this to you, but someone could call or text and say, who are you or who's Brady to tell me who's been a season ticket holder for 28 years how to behave at a game? I guess, is it illegal?
No, but do anything you want.
For it?
Do anything you want.
You
just don't do that.
Well, I'd take that over obscene chants. I'd take that over belligerent, you know, drunk guy spilling beer behind me and telling Phaneuf he should be on the Marlies because makes him dumb. This is a statement people are
It's not a statement.
It's a statement. What else is it?
It's a drunk guy. Let me ask you
it's
this.
It's a statement. Okay, yeah.
Okay,
you're probably not sober if you're doing it.
We could even take a call. All right, so you're a dyed-in-the-wool Leafs fan, and maybe your guy was Wendell Clark. Maybe it was Daryl Sittler. Maybe it was Matt Sundin. if he was going to the game with you, sitting beside you, would you take his jersey and throw it on the ice because you didn't like a game in November against the Buffalo Sabres and you didn't like the way Jake Gardner was playing? Now, it's different for us, and I'm not offended. I just think it's ridiculous. I grew up an Oiler fan. It makes me sick. It makes me sad when I see a story of someone throwing an Oiler jersey on the ice, because Gretzky and Messier wore those
jerseys. See the YouTube,
and it's despicable.
You see the YouTube video of a guy burning a Jay Cutler jersey, like, but he did it at home. All those people burning LeBron James jerseys when he decided to join the Heat. Should those people never be allowed to go to games again, or do you don't like it at the game? I'm trying to get my finger on the pulse here.
Well, I feel it's even worse at the game. But I'll ask, because you don't care. You don't have this deep-rooted interest as a child about the Leafs. But let me ask you, you go to Comerica Park. You grew up cheering for the Tigers. Someone throws an Alan Trammell jersey and stomps on it because they don't like Phil Koch out of the bullpen. That's insulting. And you know it is.
Yeah, I see it from that angle. I do see it from that angle. And believe me, like everybody can probably, it's only the real upper crust of sports fans that don't have down times for their franchise. If you're a New England Patriots fan, the entire late 70s and 80s, except for one Super Bowl appearance, was crappy. Tigers fans have that. Buffalo, look at the Bills right now. Bills were high on the hog from 1988 till 1995.
I'm not saying don't boo. You can be an idiot on Twitter and an idiot calling into our show and say trade everybody.
Listen,
that's your right. That's fine.
We know members of the New York Islanders. We know people associated with the Islanders. You talk about your histories. You talk about a fan base that has a right to go off a little bit about their recent history.
Sure.
Right? But I haven't seen it happen yet at an Islanders game.
If you throw your jersey on the ice,
Bossy jersey?
It matters less to Casey Cizikas and matters more to Dennis Potvin, right? I think it's embarrassing.
Yeah, but it's the old Seinfeld adage. We cheer for laundry, so people treat it as laundry and they throw it on the ice.
6:34, Brady and Walker. The game is on Sportsnet 590 The Fan tonight. Toronto and Tampa Bay. Leafs in desperate need of a bounce back for a multitude of reasons.
We'll do best and worst coming up at 6:47. And yeah, the observation about NFL viewing habits that's gotten a little bit irksome. We'll deal with that in 8 minutes at 6:42.
It's also been a bad week for Michael Phelps, or a bad 2014. The latest thing to befall the Olympic champion swimmer coming up next.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6:42, Brady and Walker, good morning. It is a big day here on the show, big day on the radio station. We'll have the Russell Martin unveiling it to this afternoon. Tonight, it's the Leafs and Lightning, 7:30.
Matt Fratton may clear waivers at noon today. We'll keep you posted. We've got waiver watch going all morning long.
But it's also a big day for you, a big evening, as in your antisocial self, you are going out on the town, and I can't believe it.
I'm going out, yeah. I'm going to the Danforth Music Hall. Watch one of my heroes, Johnny Marr, ex of the Smiths, and Electronic. And
all right. I don't know who that is, but that's fine.
And I'll see him live. But also, the big thing is I got parent-teacher interviews at 7:15 tonight. I don't think you do. You could fill in for me if you want and find out all about how my kids are doing, grade 3 and grade 1. So I got to rush right from parent-teacher interviews down. Cathal Kelly from The Star, very controversial writer, is going with me. We're pals. We're music pals. We don't agree on anything else but music. So I'll have a couple drinks. I'm worried about, I got to pace myself because I don't drink. You know that.
You drink, but you don't drink very often.
You just had a weekend where you went to the Leafs game Friday, you went to the Sabres game Saturday, stayed over in Buffalo.
With an old friend.
And then you sat at Real Sports on a stool for about 11 hours on Sunday.
I was in a private lounge.
Oh, sorry.
But I don't
think I could, I couldn't accomplish what you accomplished in a 72-hour span within the next 12 months in terms of imbibing,
consumption. Sure, yeah.
Alone.
Well, okay, but what about tonight? You are going out. You don't get the chance to go out that often. You are a married father of three.
I'm still thinking about getting a hotel room for myself.
So Are you staying downtown? Are you getting into it? Am I going to have to
carry the show tomorrow?
I feel like
I want to have a little bit of a banging night out.
How many, I don't know, piña coladas are you having?
If you like piña coladas.
Never gets old, but I just think too much fruit. A little too much sucrose in the fruit, natural sucrose. I'm worried about how that affects my my metabolism.
I don't want to get into...
I haven't had a beer in about 5 weeks. I had a couple glasses of red wine.
I'm drinking a beer right now. I don't want to get into alcoholism too much. But so Ryan Faber, our producer, goes down to Buffalo for the game against Kansas City on Sunday.
We were lucky he came back. He went to the Chiefs game a couple weeks ago.
He gets the chance to go out of town with some buddies. He had Monday off, and we set his over-under on beverages at 14.5 for the day. Now
I'll tweet out a picture of each drink I have tonight in real time.
Oh, you're going to tweet twice,
but
are
then,
you?
Yeah, and then I have to. But then I got to get home and watch some of the Lightning and Leafs. I'm excited to watch how my old buddy Val Filppula is covered by the Bozak line.
So Fabro's over-under is 14.5, mm-hmm. and I hate to say this because it was admittedly a throwback weekend, and I am too old for this.
No, it wasn't. What do you mean you're too old?
Because I don't.
You guys set
my over under for a weekend with the boys at I think 50. It's way too high.
This is a perfect show because I wouldn't want to work with somebody more square than I already am socially, but you wouldn't want to work with a kid 5 years younger who had less responsibilities than you have.
No,
you don't want to do that.
So what's your over under on adult beverages
tonight? I think I'm going to stay downtown, park my car somewhere, get a hotel.
So two and a half.
I'm not making fun of you, I'm asking you. I think 3.5 is a hefty over-under. Let's see. That's almost like a game time thing. Like you got to see how a guy is in a warm-up and then you set the line. Like can Rob Gronkowski run patterns in practice? That's worth a point. That's worth a whole drink. That's worth a whole glass of Foster's or Newcastle.
Fabro said he had 5 last night. He was just sitting on his couch.
He does that. He's got a mustache.
I was
on
at Rodney's Oyster House for dinner, and I don't even know.
All right, let's set it at 3.5, and I'll in real time keep people posted on this because people care.
All right. At Brady Walker's the Twitter account. What's the over under on SpongeBob SquarePants Brady for drinks tonight out at the concert? Where's the concert?
How many will Danforth Music Hall? Some of our listeners are going, as a matter of fact. I'll have you know. I'm not seeing Kim Mitchell, but I see what you're doing.
It is.
I see you working in there, Max.
6:46.
Yes, you are.
We have some, I don't want to say bad news, but it's been a rough 2014 for Michael Phelps. I'll tell you why. First, let's do best and worst.
Okay.
Best.
Terrence Ross.
And worst.
Ross from Friends.
Yeah.
With Brady and Walker.
Ross Geller, I believe, right?
No, it was, that's right.
Yeah, Monica's
Ross
brother.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was going to say, I remember Monica Geller.
Would have ended the show dramatically if there'd been some kind of involvement between the brother and the sister. That would have been a bad ending.
Stop it.
I'm
What's
saying that would have been a bad
you?
Ending for Friends.
Yes, that would have been.
My God, we're pulling Cosby
Thanks.
Show reruns off the air. No one wants that angle. It's a sitcom.
An incestual episode would have been a bad ending to Friends.
They hugged a lot, an unusual amount. In what universe is Jennifer Aniston attracted to a David Schwimmer? Is that the most mismatched couple you've ever seen on television? It's not
bad.
I know men can have money and be bald and fat and ugly, and women, if they've got money, are awfully. Name me the man that's attracted to a really rich, ugly woman.
Right, I'm saying there's a double standard.
There's a double standard.
But yes, Jennifer Aniston's can be in with David Schwimmer's.
Like I'd be attracted to Joan Collins from Dynasty. No, I wouldn't.
Best win, worst loss, best player, worst player from last night. Where do you want to start? I'll throw it to you.
All right, let me pick a worst loss. It's our old rival in Toronto, the Brooklyn Nets. Now I'll tell you why it's such a bad loss. They lost 122-118 to the Milwaukee Bucks. But Jason Kidd came home. He used to play for the Nets. He played for the Knicks. So they wanted to be on him. They wanted to beat his team. He left it for a job in Milwaukee. Now, it usually goes the other way around. You go from the, you know, sort of dimmer lights of a smaller market, and you land in Brooklyn. Jay-Z's there, and it's the Barclays Center, and Rihanna comes to the games and all that stuff. And he comes in with Jabari Parker, his rookie phenom, Brandon Knight, Larry Sanders, not from the show. And they beat the Brooklyn Nets with their Joe Johnson and Kevin Garnett and a healthy Brooke Lopez. And they beat them in overtime, triple overtime.
Best win. I'll give it to the New York Rangers. You saw this game on Sportsnet last night, 2-0. They get by the Flyers. for a couple of reasons. They start Cam Talbot in net. When your backup goalie picks up a shutout, that's good news. But this wasn't against the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Buffalo Sabres.
No, hold on a minute. It wasn't.
This was against a pretty big rival. So not only does your backup goalie get the shutout, it comes against the Flyers, which has to feel pretty good for New York Rangers fans. 2-0. They pick up that victory last night.
Best player. You know, maybe I'm going too Canuck-centric. We've given it at times before to Nick Bonino. I think we've given it to Alex Burrows this year.
You have, yes.
But we haven't mentioned Radim Verbata. And I think you share in this because you said that's a very good signing for Vancouver. It was smart money. It was short term. And I've seen line mates go. You could have a reality show of ex-Sedin line mates, right? And how they benefited, and the Anson Carters and the Taylor Pyatts of the world. And obviously,
Anson Carter, the former winner of Brady Walker's worst tweet. Yes.
Maybe one day Radim Verbata will win it. But when he's been in the lineup, he's been very, very effective and scored the two goals last night against the Edmonton Oilers, both on the power play. He's been a perfect, and boy, the Sedin's production is back up to where it was a few years ago when they were getting talked about for Hart trophies regularly.
Verbata did miss a few games with injury, yep. But you're right. He's a big reason that this team is 13-6. It's one thing, as long as I live, I'll never understand it in sports. Anson Carter scoring 30 with the Sedin's and then deciding he wants to play elsewhere. It's just, and his career was done.
There goes your meal ticket.
Although Anson Carter basically told us that he was the driving force on that line, which I'll never quite understand. Worst player. Now, I know he's not the worst player, but he had the big moment last night, and that is LeBron James, as the Cleveland Cavaliers lose for the fifth time already this season, 92-90 to San Antonio. So down two, and with the game in his hands, which is where you want it to be. LeBron James hurrying up the floor, dribbles behind his back, and the ball and the game get away.
Yeah.
Sorry, LeBron. Nice MJ impression last night. You get worst player.
Now we have the game. You wish almost this game was at 5:00 because it could lead nicely into Hockey Night in Canada and a big, you know, Leafs Red Wings game and all the other games that are on. But we've got Raptors Cavs on Sportsnet 590 The Fan Saturday night. You love your hockey. You'll be keeping eyes and screens and windows open to check that out. It's sort of the last big Eastern Conference test. The Raptors have they've already played Miami and Chicago, right?
They've played Washington, but it wasn't with Bradley Beal. For what it's worth, that's a really good question in terms of what will you watch. Because I'll tell you one thing: I'll watch one in its entirety, and I will PVR the other. And stay media blackout to watch.
Oh, wow.
Right after.
You'll be, wait a minute, you'll be off Twitter. What if there's a jersey toss in the first period in the Leafs game?
You're
not around to react to it.
You can tweet without reading Twitter. You can do that.
I can't. You're just going to give thoughts from the mountain and not respond to anybody else's. Okay.
6:52, Brady and Walker. It has been a rough year for Michael Phelps, the former Olympic champion, multiple, obviously, Olympic champion, has been arrested a couple of times. For a DUI in the last year or two. So yesterday, an interview comes out with Michael Phelps. I guess I can throw this term out there, girlfriend. I don't know exactly the nature of their relationship or how he described it. But Michael Phelps, the girl he was seeing, was unveiled that she was born a man. Now, this was news to Michael Phelps in the interview, and they asked her, well, why didn't you disclose this? And her answer was, he never asked. It never came up.
So, okay, there's still, I want to understand all this because this is all new to me. So now I notice she's 41 and he's 29. They're still dating now. Or has he come out and said, she is not my girlfriend?
I actually don't know the exact answer to that.
But she's just...
But it makes for an awkward situation.
Which is they met on Tinder. Why is Michael Phelps on... What are you doing?
I don't know.
Get off of... You're Michael Phelps. You're not Steve who works at the gas station. Get off of Tinder.
Now, everybody has human rights, obviously. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that's gross. But does she have a responsibility to, you know, when they go on their first date, disclose to him, say, you know, I was actually...
I think it's a fair question to say, what should you tell? Well, you don't want to not know and then have her put it on Facebook. Maybe they had a private conversation about it. I'm coming in ground zero understand it all.
But she was asked this, right? She was asked, how come you didn't disclose it? And she said, It never came up.
You never asked.
Well, it probably should come up, shouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. If you feel you are a woman and you're transgender, that's who you believe you are. I do think you've got to reveal. It's not the same. I'm not saying it is, but is it like having a kid and then you wait a few weeks and say, oh, by the way, I have a 9-year-old son. Whether you're a man or a woman or whatever. Then you say, well, there's no whatever. If you're a man or a woman, and you say, hey, guess what? I have a 9-year-old son, right? And then all of a sudden people are, oh, well, that's interesting. Now I'm in love with you, and now you've told me to accept this other person into your life. That could be an issue right there.
Yes.
Should I tell people about my musical taste before I start dating them? And my penchant for... For Long Island
awful,
iced teas?
Yeah, and your pink pants that you wear all the time.
I love those. They're salmon. Salmon, like the fish.
Fuchsia.
654. John Salmons.
654, Brady and Walker. Back into the Raptors at 7:02. How quality of a win is that when the Memphis Grizzlies are missing a couple of their starters? I'll ask Greg that question.